This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, awesome episode with Joe List. Check it out and share it with friends. We talk about herpes, dealing with an ex, and moving in with your girlfriend. Check it out, share it around, enjoy. J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Free, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I'm going to say it again. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for spreading the word. Keep doing that. Keep telling your friends, your coworkers, your brothers, your sisters, your mamas, your papas. It really tickles my nuts every time I get a snap from you guys listening to the podcast. It's so cool that you guys are getting involved. It's helping you on your rides back for Easter and spring break. And it's just very cool that you guys are involved with this. And every time I get one of those snaps, it's like a little window into your life. It's a little awkward at first, and then I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. So I'm on Snapchat, JTrain56. Keep sending those and keep telling a friend. It really means a lot. I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania this past weekend. There were like 15 dudes that listened to the podcast at the show, which was like amazing. And like, I'm opening for someone else, and like all these just dudes just show up
polo shirted.
They look exactly like me. Everyone, and it's all, and say hello, please. I was sitting at a table and just some guy walks by with a beer and he goes, "What's up, J Train?" And then just kept walking. And they're like, "I don't know what to say." I'll bring on our guest right now. We can talk. He's got a podcast of his own. Joe List, thank you for coming on.
Hey, everybody.
A return to the J Train podcast. Thank you for coming on and joining us and answering the emails.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know what I'm talking about. You got a podcast here on the same network, Tuesdays with Stories. It's every Tuesday. Fantastic podcast. You should add it to your library if it's already not in that already. What do you think? Don't you get that weird, like...
Yeah, it's nice. It's exciting. What we have is a weird thing is Mark Norman and I have talked about on the podcast how we get weird talking to people after shows. We're uncomfortable. We're crazy, weird guys. So now people listen to the podcast. I'll have fans just walk by and be like, "I love the show. I think it's great." And they just keep running. And I'm like, "What? You can say hello."
And people
like throwing gifts at me and then running away.
You're talking about like more like the, there's people that come up to you afterwards and they just feel like they're being aggressive towards you.
Right.
More than being like nice. You know, podcast people are usually like, this is, you know, it's cool to meet them.
Yeah. Every once in a while I have someone that saw me on Last Comic and they're insufferable. They're
really?
Like, "Hey, blah, 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 farts," whatever.
Because they're
the podcast fans. They know me.
Yes. Because
they hear me every week. So they're like, "Hey man, I don't want to bother. I know you're crazy and gay, so just hello, goodbye." And I'm like, "All right, see you later."
Yeah.
So that's nice.
It's a funny thing because it's a very intimate relationship. I every time I meet someone that listens to this, it's, you're right in their ears.
Right.
So, you know, you're there with their, I listen to podcasts too, and it's a very alone moment when you listen to someone else's podcast.
Yeah, it's also interesting because sometimes you meet people, you start telling stories to people that you just met, and they're like, "No, I know."
Yes, I had.
I know that.
I had that happen with a chick once. Like, this is like like maybe a year ago, this girl came to a show, and she came with some other people that were like, she was helping promote this book that I was in.
Yeah.
And she came and she like goes, "I have a," we left the show and she goes, "I have an admission. I've been listening to your podcast." And I was like, "Oh." And then she just started rattling off stories to me that I had told, and it was very weird. It was like almost like, this is your life.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially Mark Norman, my podcast partner. He's single and on the scene. He's telling all these sex stories.
Oh, he's killing it too.
Yeah. Oh, it's bananas. Yeah. If you like sex stories, tune in. It's ape shit what he's doing out there with the
girls. He came on here a couple episodes ago. He's a great guest, and the stories are unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's weird because these girls listen to it. And I think now some girls like want to fuck him because they're like, this guy
they want to be a part of the story.
Yeah, they're like, he fucks everybody. He must be doing something.
Man,
right.
I'm having the opposite reaction. They're like, this is gonna come on the podcast. Because maybe I deal with Jews. Like, that's my problem.
I think he might have some. He has some of those too. Yeah. I guess. But
well, Joe, I'm pumped to have you here. You've been on before. You know the deal. We answer emails. Joe List. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe List Comedy. He's going to be in Providence at the Comedy Connection, an awesome comedy club on April 29th and 30th. If you're in Boston, Rhode Island, Connecticut, anywhere in that area, go check out those shows. It's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah, that'd be great. I got a bonus infrastructure.
Okay.
So if I sell 11 tickets, I got an extra 10 bucks.
So listen, get them that $10. Yeah. April 29th and 30th. You can also go follow Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes. It's on this network. At Joe List Comedy on Twitter. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready to rock.
So let's we were talking about this before we got started. I saved an email specifically for you.
Oh, boy.
And we were kind of laughing at how I wrote it down because, you know, sometimes you have questions that I don't have the expertise in. And sometimes you get questions, you're like, oh, this person's going to be, and this one, the title is Dating with Herpes.
Oh, boy, you can't even get it out.
I can't even get it out.
It's such an issue, this herpes.
It has a stigma.
It's a real stigma, yeah.
And I have in parentheses in caps, Joe List.
That makes me feel good. Yeah, we were just saying, I'm like the go-to herpes guy in the New York scene. I'm fielding calls all day.
Well, that's the thing. People, we know what it is, but, you know, it's kind of like we're spooked by it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's spooky, all right.
It's spooky.
I've seen more pictures of guys' dicks than any human being.
Oh, my God. So you're the guy that people are like, okay, you got to check. You have herpes.
Yes. Oh, I'm riddled. It's all over. I got it on my feet, my ass, my balls.
It's everywhere. We had to put down a tarp for you to sit down on.
It's wild.
Yeah. I think what this podcast allows for is people to have open conversations about things that maybe they're uncomfortable talking about.
Right. Oh, good.
This guy writes in, Dear J-Fuck, so he really came in strong.
Okay.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I was diagnosed with herpes type A, the mouth kind, a few months back. I've done a lot of researching, and according to multiple health websites, nearly 80% of the U.S. population has it. This may come as a surprise to you, but the common cold sore that people get is herpes type A. Trust me, I'm pre-med at a school I won't mention. Anyway, cut to the chase. How do I tell the girl I'm dating 889? That's the rating system. She's face, body, personality.
Right. I remember
889. That I carry this stigmatized virus. She's made comments about how gross herpes is, and it has only made it harder for me to get this off my chest. Any advice would be appreciated. Love the podcast. Keep up the work, you homo.
Oh boy. Well, this is interesting because I never heard type A and type B.
Okay.
I thought it was HSV 1 and 2. Isn't it 1 and 2?
I don't know.
A and B, I never heard of.
Well, this is how little we know. And he's right. You hear 1 in 4 people have some sort of herpes. I don't know. You know, and, you know, you mentioned something like this on stage. I do a joke about my brother sleeping on a couch is like having herpes because you have to explain them.
Right.
And people even get weird at that. It's just a reference.
Yeah, just hearing herpes, it's a weird buzzword. But if this girl thinks it's gross, it's strange because a lot of people have it. And it's really not that big a deal. It's very manageable. And he doesn't have genital herpes, unless he does and he's weird saying it.
Yeah. Unless he's sucking his own dick, maybe giving it to himself.
But the mouth kind, I think everyone does have. Everyone that's ever had a cold sore in their mouth, I think, is pretty standard.
Yeah, everyone except me. Let me put that out there.
Yeah, I don't have, I've never had a mouth cold sore either. Yeah,
but what do you do when you're engaged now?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How do you bring that up to somebody? You know, especially anything that's uncomfortable.
Right.
How do you call that out?
See, mine was interesting because, and I just had a talk with someone else that has it now about how to date with it. But
yeah.
I admitted it at like a comedy party at the Laker Awards. I don't know if you were around back then.
I remember that.
2010 or so, whatever. And I won an award, a fake award. Yeah. And I was given an award speech. I was like, this is a hard year for me. I have herpes. I got crazy herpes. And I thought it was going to be hilarious. And nobody laughed. Everyone was like, oh, this poor bastard.
Oh, my God.
And
it's like announcing you have cancer in the middle of the thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. People were like, oh, my God, this guy should kill himself or whatever. But what would become my girlfriend was there. She was not, we were just friends at the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of told her publicly. So she already knew. So it didn't have to be like a serious talk or anything. And previous to her, I only had to tell one girl. We were about to have sex. And I said, hey, I have herpes, but, you know, condom. I don't have an outbreak. And she said, well, it's not ideal, which was a really sweet thing. And I was like, all right, great.
It's not ideal. That's like the worst. Ideal is the worst word to hear pre-sex in anything.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, this penis is not ideal.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of me that wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
So I think herpes was just one more. The glasses, the teeth.
She's doing her, what are those, what are the two circles that come, the Venn diagram?
Yeah, Venn diagram. Oh, yeah.
She's just like looking at that center spot, being like, not a lot coming together for this sexual experience.
Ironically, the middle of a Venn diagram looks like a pussy.
It does.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Exactly right.
But yeah, so I think it's just, you put it out there. But there was one time I almost had sex with a girl when I was single, obviously, we'll say. And we were about to have sex, and I was like, I got to tell you, I have herpes. And the girl was like, what? That's fucking disgusting. You're gross. And it was so annoying because I'm like, well, you're only me being a good guy away from you having it.
Yeah.
Like, you were about to fuck me.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that is preventing you from having it right now is me having a conscience and being a nice person.
Yeah.
But, like, what you're doing now is how you get herpes.
To me, that's exactly right. And what does this thing in... The challenges in our lives are kind of what reveal, like, what the person is.
Right.
You ever see that movie, Shallow Hal?
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's a funny movie, the Farrelly Brothers.
Yeah,
it didn't
underrated.
Get enough credit.
Yeah.
So I like that movie, but there's a scene in the movie. So the premise of the movie is that everyone who, their outer image is what they are on the inside.
Right.
And, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow plays this overweight woman, but when he sees her, she's beautiful because she's such a good person.
Right.
And then there's that scene where they go on the double date vacation.
Yeah.
And there's the one woman that looks like an old hag.
Right.
But she's actually gorgeous.
Right.
Because on the inside, she's a dark animal.
Right. Right.
So it was like to explain the point that this goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing with this guy's herpes. You're going to find out the type of person you're with based on their reaction to it.
Right, exactly. It's so weird to just be like, 'cause some people, it's been trained to be like, that's disgusting. But I'm like, well, it's as disgusting as fucking a person without a condom.
Yes.
That's how I got herpes.
Yeah.
I fucked a person that didn't have a condom. It's like, is that disgusting?
Right now
it's pretty amazing, really. Yeah. It's fun. And the girl that I got it from told me, but what happened was, and they say not to do this, she told me, like, as we were hot and heavy, like, we were about to fuck, and like, I don't know if you're like me. If I have a hard on and she's naked,
she
could be like, my pussy is covered in razor blades that have AIDS on them. I'd be like, well, whatever. I guess I have that happening.
I guess I got this dick getting cut off tonight.
Yeah, like, so I went for it. Didn't care.
No,
but,
I had a girl. This happened in college. I was hooking up with this girl. We're in top bunk of a, you know, of a fraternity bedroom.
Yeah.
And we're hot and heavy. And she, you know, said it.
Yeah.
And was like, listen, got to let you know something. And I saw it the way that you were kind of putting it. Like, I was like, oh, thank you for telling me. Like, you know, thank you for letting me know that, you know, the shoot only has one.
Right.
You know, there's no emergency shoot going on here.
Right.
We only have one. And I remember this was the first time I really got a handle on, like, these earphones fucking suck. What's going on? So this is the first time I really got a handle on how people, feel about herpes. I remember, like, we hooked up, nothing, you know, we ended up not having sex. I was like, listen, I don't know enough about this to even have, like, an informed sexual experience.
Right.
So we just, like, made out, whatever. And then I remember leaving the next day, and, like, guys in my fraternity were like, it was like I walked out with, like, a zombie.
Right.
Like, whoa! Or, like, you know, actually, it was more like walking out with, like, a tiger.
Right.
That could kill everybody.
Right.
And everyone's just like, do you know? Like, and she left, and they're like, do you know? Do you know what's going on? And I'm like, I guess I know. Like, I just didn't do it.
Right.
And I'm happy I knew. I think she did me a favor.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's weird. I guess that's the ideal situation if you have herpes, is to get someone else that has herpes. You can just not worry about it.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about getting it is that once you have it, you're like, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I just have it.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. Because I was like bummed for a day. And then after that, I was like, oh, well, what are you going to do?
If anything, it makes you more careful.
Right.
With other people, they'll be like, listen, I hold this thing that I could end up giving. You know, I need to make sure. Be upfront is really the answer to this question.
Right. Definitely.
And let people know. And, like, listen, it sounds bad right now, but you're getting to know somebody a little differently than you would have. Like, if you're going to, you know, have sex with this girl and you say, I have herpes, and then she's like, get the fuck out of here. You're like, maybe you lucked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
yeah,
you
yeah.
found out something you would have found out 2 months later.
Yeah, it's a crazy person or a shitty person. Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Joe List at Joe List Comedy on Twitter. Gonna be at the Comedy Connection April 28th and 29th. Go check them out. Fantastic comics. So funny. Let's keep it going. Fuck bitches, get money.
Oh, boy.
What's up, Dreidel Train? I've listened to since the start and have been spreading the word of some alcohol dependent 30-year-old with below average life experience all across Canada ever since. Enough of the paprika on your nuts. I've got some knowledge to get. I've been out of school for almost 2 years now, have finally put together some money, and should be able to put a down payment on a house in about a year.
Oh, wow.
Guy's killing it. It helps that my work pays my accommodations, hotel, I travel a lot. Here's where it gets tricky. I've been with my girlfriend for 8 months, and she'll graduate in a month. She'll be moving into a city I work in 1 week out of the month. She'll be moving into a city I work in 1 week out of the month.
Okay.
She wants to live to move in together. Well, I don't have problems with that specifically. It seems like an incredibly stupid financial decision. She obviously split the rent with me, but I hate the thought of paying someone else's mortgage when I don't have to. You're Jewish. You understand this. Especially since I'll almost never be there. How to explain that I just don't want to live with her yet and that it's strictly because I'm cheap. She has her heart set on this, so it's probably going to lead to a fight. Should I just pay the rent and delay financial growth for a girl who, statistically speaking, might not be the one? Should I just start preparing for a breakup, change my profile picture? Any advice would be unreal. I do realize I'm bitching about not being able to buy a house at 25 to a guy who does comedy for a living in the most expensive city in the world. Also, you're hilarious. If I could do, you could do a show in Vancouver or even Seattle, I'm there. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Joe, what do you think?
Well, I'm a little confused. She wants to move in. Wouldn't she be paying half the rent? I don't understand.
She would be.
So he's saying he'd have to... Why would that cost him money to have her move in?
I think he doesn't. I think right now he's probably living at home.
Oh, I see.
While his work pays for travel.
Oh, I got you.
This is the assumption I'm making. I'm making a pretty big leap. But
I actually think it was like a little confusing the way he said it. Like, she might live in like St. Louis, say. He travels to St. Louis 1 week a month for his job and lives elsewhere the rest of the time. So he'd be paying for the house, but only living there 1 week a month.
I guess instead of having the hotel paid for by his work.
Right.
I understand. So he has a very specific situation.
Yeah.
But he's blaming not wanting to move in with his girlfriend, who he just said he might break up with anyways, on being cheap.
Right. Yeah, it seems like there's a couple problems in the relationship just generally. But I feel like, and I don't mean this offensively to podcast fans everywhere, but I feel like if you're sending an email to a podcast host that you listen to, you might be a couple tweaks away from a perfect relationship. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This isn't...
Like, this is the kind of thing he should probably discuss with her.
Yeah.
But let's keep talking about it, obviously, I think
what he wants to hear is that he's not crazy.
Yeah, definitely not crazy.
And here's what I'll say about his... What he's not crazy about, he's definitely the most sane person when it comes to not wanting to move in with your 22-year-old girlfriend.
And 8 months is very short.
Very short.
I think you got to have two holidays with a person.
Okay.
Two Christmases or Hanukkahs, whatever it may be, to be like, what the fuck is this gift? I already have that. What do you do? A couple of stressful situations annually before you make big moves.
Totally agree. Not even just move in, just like to make a move of any kind in a relationship.
Right.
Two holidays, that's a good... I think also what he's doing right now is he's blaming his cheapness for why he doesn't want to do something with his girlfriend. It'll only lead him to more lies down the road.
Right.
He's better off... First of all, even before I get to my point, after college, those 2 years after college are very big life-changing moments.
For sure.
You become a totally different person. This girl... What her problem is, she's afraid of leaving college.
Right.
And she wants to know that there's going to be some type of stability when she leaves, which is you having a place for her to move into right away.
Right.
The best thing that can happen to her is the not knowing what's coming next. That's how you get formed as a person.
Yeah.
Those stressful moments of moving into a new apartment. Like, you know, there's so many things you don't learn in college. Like, oh, how do I look for a new apartment? How do I get, you know, I have to pay broker's fees. I have a 401k. There's a retirement account. You know, there's all these like, you know, little tiny bits of life that are so much bigger than we were ever taught in high school and college.
Right.
You know, like all those little, like I just, like, I remember I brought a chick home once. I was like 25 years old and my apartment was a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And I remember I brought her home and it was so messy in the apartment that she just looked at and she was like, I'm not coming in. And I was 25.
Yeah.
And I remember the night, I was like, well, my apartment just cock blocked me.
Right.
I gotta clean this fucking place up. I gotta grow up.
Right.
And the next day, it took me literally a day to get it to just mediocre.
Right.
Like it wasn't like I was like sparkling by any means. And I just remember being like, it shouldn't take a day, but it took these like physical moments of not getting blown that night, plus the strength I had to put into like cleaning up the apartment to be like, oh, here's a part of my life I need to get better at.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. I cleaned up my old apartment one time. There was three of us living in it. And same thing. Like I had girls come and they were like, this is fucking bananas, you piece of shit. And then we cleaned it out. I was like, I got to clean everything. And I had seven trash bags filled
You were living in that.
Yes. 7 trash bags full of shit that I was like, this is unnecessary. This is trash. Yes. This is unneeded. 7.
That's
in a 3-bedroom apartment. This is bananas.
This is a scarring memory.
Yes.
That you and I both have.
Yeah.
That has fashioned us to be better people later on. And when if you let her move in with you and you don't tell her, listen, this isn't the, I'm not ready for this, then you are handicapping her.
Yeah.
You're allowing her to have no scars.
Yes.
Which are necessary for growth and life. I implore this guy.
Yes.
Do not move in with her. Also, there's this whole thing of like, I've had this happen to me in relationships where like I'll do something I don't want to do in a relationship, and then it will just feed on to me pushing myself away from the girl.
Yeah.
Even though in that moment we're like good, like it's made us worse.
Yeah.
Like I never really get to know her because we don't have this like hard moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I don't like to fight with girls. You know what I mean?
No, I never do.
I don't want to have arguments. So I'm just like, I'll just go with it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm inside, I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this right now.
Yeah. I never understand those relationships where they like to fight, that we fight all the time.
I don't get that.
Yeah. I'm not into that. I have one fight and I'm like, well, what? Let's break up. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's forget it. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is silly.
We've been talking a lot about, I've turned my read receipts on.
I don't know what that is.
It's when you text with someone, you can see when I've read your
your
text.
Yeah, ooh.
So
I like that.
I turned that on because like an emailer wrote in telling everyone to turn them on. So I was like, I'll try this.
Yeah.
The amount of change in my life in just like the short month or like 3 weeks that I've done this has been unbelievable because everything has moved towards honesty like way quicker.
Uh-huh.
I had a girl over the weekend. I saw her. She came with some friends to the show and then she texted me. Like I said hi to her and her friends, thanks for coming. And then she texted me, my friends say you don't like me. and I'm looking at this text being like that's a fucking vicious.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Yeah. I don't care for these friends of hers.
Well, they also, yeah, I your friends tell them to like mind their own fucking business.
Right.
But like, what do I even say to that text? Do I respond like, I like you enough to fuck you. Like,
yeah.
I read it and I just was like, I don't know how. And I wrote like 30 different answers.
Yeah.
Until I just was like, I'm just going to write nothing.
Yeah.
And all it says is that I read it.
Yeah. It just says read and that's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
But that's girls should know that. Wait, once you get your friends involved, it's weird. Like you have like a girl, you meet a girl, you start seeing a girl and her friends. You meet her friends and they're like, be good to her. If you hurt her, it makes her seem like retarded.
Yes.
In a weird way.
Totally.
You're like, what the fuck? It's like embarrassing. It's such a turnoff, ladies, if you're listening, to have your friends be like, she's an angel.
Oh, I totally agree. Also, girlfriends underhandedly do this to each other. There's always the girl that they'll be like, you can always tell if a girl is hot or not based on how gushing the friends are.
Yeah.
Like if the friends are like, she's gorgeous.
Right.
That's a fat chick.
Right.
You know, oh my God, beautiful. And then when she's hot, this is the words they use. They'll be like, yeah, she's hot.
Yeah.
Guys like her.
Yeah.
Guys like her. Oh, the other guys with penises?
Right.
I'm gonna go with their opinion.
You want the friends to hate her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's hot. I get it. Yeah. Fuck her. That means she's like crazy hot because they're sick of it.
Yes.
They resent her for being that hot.
Guys like her boobs. Oh, they're amazing then.
Right. Exactly.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
What's up, guys? This is Rob Fox from the Inside TFM Podcast. You can hear us every Thursday talk about all the dumb, drunk shit we did and what's going on at TFM and our takes on just what's going on around colleges in the country. So subscribe to us on iTunes or you can catch us on the site every Thursday.
We're here with Joe List at Joe List Comedy. Go follow him, support him. Fantastic comic, so funny. He's going to be at the Comedy Connection April 29th and 28th. Also, Tuesdays with Stories every Tuesday, along with this podcast. So you get two for the price of zero every Tuesday.
That's right.
Free 2 hours of entertainment. So let's do Return of the X.
Oh, boy.
Sup, J Train. Me and my friends love the podcast. Keeps us entertained on road trips to the mountains. Keep up the good work. I need some of the $1 million advice that you're giving out for free. You're welcome. Here's what you can do to pay for this advice, people. Turn to whoever's next to you. I don't care if it's a homeless person. I don't care if it's your mom. get them subscribed to this podcast. Yes. We need it on iTunes. It's very helpful. Give us a rating, a subscription, 5 stars. It's really very helpful. So go check that out. Tell one friend, and that'll be your payment to me. That'll really boil my biscuits. I'm about to graduate from an overrated, overpriced college in the West. While studying abroad, I met a guy. We quickly began spending a lot of time together, spending many weekends traveling together and constantly talking when we were apart. Long story short, some real feelings developed for both of us. I just got a hiccup.
I thought you were going to die right there.
What if I died right on the
air? It sounded like that was a moment.
it was real feelings developed, and you're like...
Oh, yeah. Maybe I was so taken aback. We weren't from the same school or even the same area in the U.S., so after abroad, we tried to keep up the long-distance relationship for a while. It lasted all summer. We even both visited each other, but we couldn't make it last. I was doing okay with it, knowing the long distance was hard, but then shortly after the breakup, I found out he started dating another girl, and then I was not okay. Recently, he drunkenly texted me saying he really missed me while still with the girlfriend, and that he's moving to my hometown after graduation, where I've accepted a job. He also told me he will be living in the same neighborhood. Since the drunk text, he has written me asking advice about living in the city and keeping in touch. I am not sure how to handle the one guy who has ever broken my heart. So what do I do when the time comes for us to live so close? Do I ignore him when we are bound to ruin each other? If I may still have feelings for this guy, do I consider getting close enough after he and his current girlfriend's now long-distance relationship probably ends in disaster like it did for us? What do you think?
Oh, boy. Well, this is... that's a lot. I mean, that's a heavy one.
Heavy.
But I have a similar experience with that.
Oh, please.
My ex-girlfriend that I was in love with, lived together, the whole thing, she went to South America. We broke up because she went abroad. She wanted to, you know, visit and
experience. Was this in college or was this like a post?
She was after college. We dated while she was in grad school at Columbia. And then she graduated there, left. We broke up. And then just a couple of years ago, she moved back to New York.
Oh, really?
But I was in a relationship already, so it's a little different. But it was a thing of like, oh, wow, my ex is back in town.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And I wanted to kind of be friends with her. But then she was kind of weird and cunty about it. And she, no, I shouldn't say cunty. She's nice person.
Did she want to like see what this could be again?
I don't know. I never know. I mean, it's weird that she would choose to move back to New York because she hated it while we were dating.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I mean, probably not, but maybe. I don't know.
But you kept in touch.
We kept in touch a little bit, but it was weird. But sometimes you think... And this might be just different than that.
Yeah.
I thought, because she broke up with me, and I was so heartbroken, I was in love with her, that I was like, oh boy, maybe, I was like, I gotta, now that I'm over her, it's possible that she just wasn't over me, because I always just assumed it was me that was heartbroken, and she was having the time of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to hang out with her a couple times, but I feel like those relationships always end up being poisonous. You broke up for a reason. If he's back in town, you know, say hello, maybe have a drink, but I would not get back romantically involved. Find somebody else. Try to find someone else.
I agree with you. I hear everything you're saying. I've had a similar situation to this. I think them meeting abroad, anytime you meet somebody in a specific situation that's not your living situation,
right?
It's glorified.
It's like a movie.
It's a movie.
There's music and doves.
Yeah, and you're traveling together,
right.
And money doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go on vacation, when have you ever, like, when you're on vacation, when have you ever thought about what you're eating and how much you're spending?
Right.
Zero.
Right.
Those are the last things you think about. But when you're at home, you're like, got to eat on my schedule, got to spend this much money a day. You know, real life gets in the way. So you have to... You have to understand how different that life is abroad than it is here, and understand that for what that's what's surrounding the relationship. So don't put it on the same level as like a relationship that happens in the normalcy of everyday life, because that's a real relationship.
Right.
I had a situation, I went on Birthright, so Jews get to go to Israel for free.
Right.
From a certain age. So I did this trip and I met this girl there and like I became like head, you know, I was like into it. I was like, this is it. This is great. And we had this like great, you know, and I was like, especially because you're traveling all these great places. It's the movie that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I remember we came back to New York and it just was very different. Like it wasn't the same, you know, back and forth. There were just other things in the way. There was work. There was setting up plans. All this stuff that was so easy before wasn't easy here.
Right.
So what she's dealing with, she's looking at a romanticized version of what they had. And when they visited each other, that's the same thing. You're still on vacation together.
Yeah.
You're not having a real relationship.
Right.
My advice to her is to just put, kind of take your distance from this guy.
Yeah.
Be a friend, not like an interest. And if he brings up all this I miss you stuff, just be like, you got a girlfriend. I'm not even going to like acknowledge that.
Yeah, especially if he's the kind of guy that has a girlfriend and is emailing me like, hey, I miss you, while he has a girlfriend. That's the kind of guy you're interested in being with. You can do better, I think.
I agree. And here's what you do. When you move to the new city, you hang out, but only if he makes plans.
Yeah.
You need him to make very real plans. And if he makes those plans, then go with it. But don't be the one pushing for this, because you need to see what you need to get your life together too. Like, this isn't just him moving to that new city. Even though you're from there, you're still moving into the new city. This is a new experience for you. You're post grad now. Yeah. You're getting a job. You're getting into the schedule of a real day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I just don't think it. I can see what's going to happen. They're going to get back to that city. They're going to hook up late night. They're going to say, oh, we tried, but this is never going to happen. And then she's going to be heartbroken again.
Right.
That's fine, but don't tell me, don't say I didn't tell you so.
Yeah, because the thing is, with that guy, if you just want to get laid, you want to get fucked, fuck someone else. Some nice guy that you never met before.
Totally.
There's not extra feelings underneath the surface and resentments. And
also, if a guy that breaks up, that you break up with long distance and immediately gets into another relationship, that means he's someone that needs to be taken care of a little bit.
Right.
That means when he comes to the new city, he's trying to set himself up to be taken care of again.
Yes.
He doesn't like being alone. He needs somebody to, and you don't matter really that much. It's just that you're a body. You're a human thing.
Yeah, I would agree. And then also, lastly, I would say, if you can get fully over him, where you're over him, like, she's like, it still hurt me when he started dating someone. If you can get over him and accept, and then try to see him again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like now,
you have to start from square one. If you're going to do this, you have to start from like, oh, he courts you. He like tries to take you on dates. He acts as if you guys have just met on the street or at a bar, and he wants you to be with him. It can't be, I moved here. Let's meet up at 2 a.m. Because that's not going to get you. You're straddling this. You're doing it halfway.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JoeList@JoeListComedy. Go check him out. Support him. X is a coworker.
Oh boy!
I like the ex talk. Let's keep up.
I love an ex talk. I think about my ex all the time.
Do you really?
Constantly.
What do you think about?
Only when I'm masturbating. No, I'm only kidding, of course.
Only with her Instagram page up.
Yeah.
Like, I think of exes. I do think of exes. I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, but I never think like wistfully.
Right.
Like, I'm always like, that was a good person. Happy I'm out of that. Kind of looking for like three traits out of her to be combined with three traits out of another ex.
Right. Yeah, I think about it where I'm like, see, I'm in a relationship. I'm engaged now. So I think about it in a weird way where I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so weird to me because it's been 6 years, 7 years. So it's weird to be like, oh, yeah, that person. I forgot about that.
It's so weird to see an ex out, too. Like, I was just on the subway earlier, and I thought I saw an ex, and I was like, I'm not going to jump into the, like, I'm just going to ignore. Like,
right.
I'm not going to, like, but then you have that moment where you're like, oh, we spent a lot of fucking time together.
Yeah, it's weird. You fucked in the ass and you had Christmas together or whatever the hell it is. And it's crazy.
I saw an ex, like 6 months back, and it was at like a tailgate, and like it was her with her new boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you have this moment where you're like, she's like, hey, Jared. And everything's like elongated. Like in that elongated moment, it's just like, seeing you naked. You know?
That's an interesting thing.
Hey, seeing you naked, Jared, seeing you naked. You know, everything is in those pauses.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to be like, to see someone grocery shopping and you're like, I've seen your vagina at point blank range.
Yeah.
I've smelt the inside of your pussy.
I've put my eye into it.
Yeah.
I've been covered in your wetness.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's weird. And then like you see this other guy and like he knows the deal because he's probably like, she's got to walk away and be like, yeah, I used to date that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then like everyone knows the deal without saying the deal.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that like when you see like someone's ex, it's never said like, The sexual parts are never said.
Yeah.
It's just everything. It's like, I used to date that guy. But I used to date that guy. It's like, I used to,
rail on her. just pounded her ass.
X is a coworker. J Train, I'm going to jump right in. I'm in some deep shit.
Oh, boy.
About a month ago, I broke up with a girlfriend of a year and a half, but it was a huge mistake.
Uh-oh.
Since then, I've been a complete jackass, getting too drunk and reaching out to her and apologizing, almost begging a few times, subtweeting about her and about being all around crazy. Oh, dude, you got to turn off the tech.
Yeah, trouble.
I laid off for a week, and we recently hooked up, And he puts the parentheses, mission accomplished. And I tried and I tried my best not to let myself get attached because of it. The problem is that we work together, so I constantly see her. What's worse is that she has stayed at a male coworker's house a few times. This dude has a girlfriend in a neighboring school, but has cheated on her. So I'm not sure what to think about it. Any advice on how to either get her back, which is plan A, or move on without letting this affect work? Thank you for the weekly entertainment advice. Keep it up.
Ooh, that is messy. I mean, that's a big old pile of mess.
That's the thing. And for me, with any like breakup situation, you just don't want to see this person.
Yeah, I've been so lucky. My previous girlfriend moved to South America and wasn't on social media. It's the most ideal situation.
Yeah, you don't see. And what Different you do continent. Is when you see these people with someone else, you kind of put yourself in their shoes for a minute. You're like, I could have been that guy or girl.
Right. Yeah, but in the office, trying to get her back, she's cheated on another guy. She's fucked a guy in your office. I mean, that's just going to be messy, especially if she leaves him and goes to back to you. Now you're working with
He's already made a mistake that I would advise everyone against making, and it's putting your garbage out on social media.
Yeah.
It never looks good.
Right.
It's never, when I see a girl being like, oh, that's how you're going to play. Like, it's like the vague tweet.
Ugh. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's how you're playing it. It's like, oh, that chick is someone I'm staying away from.
Yeah, that's bananas. That's not how you're supposed to do it.
Like what you should do is have a notes section of your phone and just write it in there.
Right.
For no one to see.
Right.
And then you just reread it and like a million. Because what he's done right now is, he has made himself beneath her with all this stuff. You know, like when he writes the tweets and the begging her back. Now she's going with another guy who's cheating on his girlfriend. She's going with an alpha dude.
Yeah.
And they're probably, and she's probably like showing him the tweets being like, can you believe this shit?
Yeah.
You're the topic of every conversation with new guys.
Right.
That's what happens when you put all this bullshit out there.
Yeah, it just doesn't, that sounds like a messy situation. If I were him, I keep saying this to everybody, but I would try to distance myself from that and find a different girl, get on the Tinder or the Bumble, whatever, and move on to a different scene, which will help you get away from that and make your work life easier.
Totally. And here's the thing about work. When you see her, the male ego move is to be like, oh, she's with someone else in spite of me.
Right.
Remember, you're not that fucking great.
Yes.
You know, she hasn't, every move she makes isn't because she's thought of you. She doesn't go to the lunch counter when you go. It just so happens that you saw her there at the same time. She doesn't go and try and go to the water fountain to be near you. No, she just was thirsty for some water.
Right.
You have to remember this isn't, her life is not about you. And that, the more you remember that, the less you're going to be, you know, feeling degraded with every move that she makes.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's doing right now. He's saying, well, she's around the office, and he's probably inventing these things. Oh, she keeps looking at me in the office. No, she's just got to get to the bathroom.
Right, right.
You know, you have nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I would move on. If I were him, I would quit my job, move to the move to the mountains.
Move the mountains.
Live off the land.
Yeah, that's the move. Yeah, just if you can't quit your job, just stop with her. Because it's not going to help anything. You're probably spending 80% of your day. You're probably going to get fired because you're spending 80% of your day thinking about her.
Yeah. I think most of these situations, I have a theory. Most situations, it's true of my ex. A lot of these people that go back to their ex, they can't stop thinking about their ex. It's because she was great in bed. She probably, with all due respect, she probably sucked a mean cock.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get back there. My God, she's sucking his dick now.
Yeah.
There's other girls that...
he's getting that sweet nectar.
Yes. There's other girls that would let you come on their face or whatever. So, you know, move past this girl and find another gal that's wild in the sack.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're going to do one more email. Let's do this one. I like internship hookups.
Oh.
This is kind of the work. We're keeping the theme, but we're like extending the theme.
I like it.
I like it.
Extend the theme, baby.
Internship hookups. Jared, rather than starting this email with standard nut feathering, I want to begin with an apology. What my people did to yours 80 plus years ago was not right. And I hope you can look past that to provide some much needed advice. This summer, I'll be doing a finance internship. Program is a number of weeks long and has about 50 interns, some of which will be female. By no means will these chicks be Instagram models who think their motivational quotes earn them 10,000 followers, but you wouldn't be embarrassed to tell your boys back home about them either. So he's got some cute girls at his internship program.
Yeah.
What's the move on the hookup game? Should I target one prospect for the summer or make a play at all of them? I'd kind of, at all of them, this guy, I'd kind of like to work here in the future. So is it worth risking my professional reputation just to sexually disappoint a few female interns this summer? Everyone seems to live together in nearby housing. So does that help or hurt the case? What do you think?
Boy, well, first of all, I mean, I just don't have the confidence or personality to be the kind of guy that's like, I'm going to go after everybody. Like, I'm not, you know, that's very like Napoleon or something. Yeah. I would find one, because that way if it gets weird or mixed up, if it's just one, you could be like, I'm in love with this girl. I thought she was the love of my life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, look at our last emailer. Look what happened to this kid. He's broken, and he's the cuckold of this other relationship. Yes. You know, so
yeah, I'd pick one dame and pursue her, and if not, you know, you masturbate.
Here's my advice. I've done these internship programs before, and the move is nobody. You hook up with nobody at this internship. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck yourself over. Do the job. Be awesome. And here's what you do: every girl interning at that company has a friend who's interning at another company.
Uh-huh.
So you want to leverage these relationships. You want to be, he's this great guy who's killing it. And here's what you have when you're at an internship and when you're in college. You can sell potential to get you fucked, okay? I'm way past that. This is what it is, okay? If you hook up with me, you're stuck in this bullshit, okay? Right now, at internship age, you can sell the fact that in 20 years, you're going to be Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
Not going to happen, but you can sell that.
Right.
So what I'm saying is people are attracted to success. So if you do well at the internship and you keep your eyes on the prize with getting the job and being the number one, number one bone slayer at the finance internship.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys do happy hour drinks and you befriend all these girls, you're going to be a magnet.
Yes.
And they're going to be like, oh, you're cool with that. And then what you do is when you go to the happy hour with all the girls from the internship, you say, hey, do you got any friends?
Yes, this is good. This is good. And then the girls see you as like, yeah, he's really sweet. He doesn't even try to fuck us. He's a real pro. He's thoughtful.
Yes.
He's not one of these animals that tries to fuck everybody.
The minute you take fucking out of the equation, you become a normal human being that girls want to be around.
You're a hero.
Right? You're not like, and you gotta, because you're going to have one guy at that internship that came to do some fucking.
Yes.
He came with his axe to chop down some trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy ain't going to look so hot compared to you, who's getting the job, who's doing well, he's ranking in the top of whatever measurements you guys have. And then you leverage these girls that you've befriended, because nearby, some of them are probably moving closer to their hometown. Some of them have friends that are interning. Everyone is a little bit lonely and looking for places to hang out with people because they're not really, and what you're doing is you're taking a girl at your internship and you're saying, I'm a trustworthy person that you can set me up with someone else. And now what you do is you say, hey, me and the other interns were doing a pregame. You take the one girl who's, you know, hot and fun and that you befriended, and you say, hey, if you have any friends in town, bring them to this pregame that we're doing. Now you've extended and you get yourself away from fucking over your opportunity with the work.
Yeah, this is beautiful. I mean, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Now that's some advice. This guy's going to be...
We got one pearl an episode. I think that was it.
What did you say? The bone slayer?
The bone slayer.
That's poetry. This guy's going to be slaying bones.
Yeah, he's going to be slaying bones, putting in a hatch of wounds. It's going to be great. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Joe List, thank you for coming on. This was fantastic.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to do some hypotheticals and some news with Mansamp, who's back from the... All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to everybody that sent me messages on Twitter and Snapchat.
Yeah, man. We're happy to have you back. Really, we're sorry about your dog. We got one email. Thanks, actually, I'll read it now. This is the... Some guy... People really got pretty gay about your dog.
People... It hits everybody really hard.
It does. I have a dog. I had a dog growing up, and that dog passed away. But this guy... Hey, J-Train. I was just sending my best to Mansamp for losing his dog. Mine passed away a few years ago, too, after 13 years, and it was just terrible. Just embrace the emotions, buddy. Not to be one of those my cats or my kids ladies, but but dogs can be your best friends for a whole decade, so it completely makes sense to be a wreck after. I know I was. Wishing you the best. So the listeners are on your side, man.
And I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
What was the dog's name?
Stanley.
That's a great dog name.
Yeah.
Love that name.
Yeah, he was a good one.
Rest in peace, Stanley, from J Train Podcast.
And me too.
To the I dog also. Man up above. Yeah. So we're going to come right back with some hypotheticals in the news. We'll be right back. I can't say life's a bitch because of what you make or make. You make your own bitch, so you got to land it. Hey, guys. Welcome back. We're here with Joe List. Joe, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This
answering
fun.
The emails. It was great. You can find Joe on Twitter at Joe List Comedy. Also, he's going to be in Providence at the Comedy Connection, which is a fantastic, fun club. I've been there before. The place is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's been there forever. It's an old bank vault.
Old bank vault. It's really just a cool room. Like, sometimes you have rooms that you're like, this is a good laughing room.
Right, yeah. It's hot.
So it's good. So he's going to be there on April 29th and 30th. I said the 28th and 29th. So
that's
April 29th and 30th at Providence Comedy Connection. Go check it out. Also, Tuesdays with Stories. Every Tuesday, same day that we release this podcast. So get on board with Tuesdays with Stories. Fun, awesome podcast. Also, you can go to my website. I've got some dates coming up. JTrainComedy.com. It's JTrainComedy.com. I will have already been, when this airs, I'll have already been in Portland. Thank you to anyone who came to that. But I'll also be coming to Boulder, Colorado, the Borgata in Atlantic City, Levity Live in Nyack, New York at the Palisades Mall. I'll be in Boston at Laugh Boston on the 17th, and then Thomas College in Maine on the 21st of April. So get involved. Would love to see you guys at those shows. Man Samp.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on.
Good to be back.
Good
happy
to have
be
you
here.
Back.
Thank you.
At Man Samp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday, along with this one on Fridays. Let's do some hypotheticals. You ready?
Yeah.
This one. Your pro boxer listener from here from Seattle, Washington, at RobotMan360 on IG. So here we go. Big discussion anticipated here, Jay Boner. Would you rather have your daughter be a whore or have no friends? Loser or a whore? I say whore because I don't do the whole slut-shaming bullshit.
Does he mean like a literal whore, like a hooker?
I don't know. And if she had no friends, she might be weird as fuck and crazy as shit and talk to balloons. Love the podcast, by the way. Lisa Ann episode is one of my favorites, and tell her to let me drink her bathwater. Happy Easter. So, I mean,
this one to me is pretty easy. I mean, no friends is a horrible, sad life.
Yeah.
And a quote-unquote whore to me just means promiscuous. You fuck a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that implies that she could have a lot of great friends. If she has solid people that will do anything for her, but she fucks a different guy every night, I'm okay with that.
I
want to fuck everyone every night.
Yeah, I guess I'm a whore if you put it in that context. Yeah,
so
I want,
no friends is a problem. She'd be suicidal. You need friends. So you need friends, and you need to get laid.
Also, yes, and no friends is such a burden on the parents.
Of course. Right.
You know, I got to hang out with this loser now, too.
Now you got to fuck her.
Yeah. Now, what do you think, Chris?
Well, yeah, I think I'm going to go with you guys on this. And correct me if I'm wrong, it was in Seattle, so it's already going to be maybe a little depressing.
Well, this is a guy from Seattle that's sending
that's
the
hypothetical. So his daughter would be in Seattle.
She'd be like in the rain.
Yeah.
Like one of those vampire kids.
Yeah, let her get laid. It's fine.
I'd be proud of my girl if she got laid a bunch.
You high-fiving her
good
on the
for
way
you.
In.
Yeah, suck those dicks.
Loser thing is just a tough thing to watch. You ever like you meet someone like that and you're like, ugh, I feel bad. It's almost like a disability at that point. You feel bad.
Yeah,
you
know?
You can't even talk to anybody? Okay. In a situation where you have to give up either your butthole or your urethra for good, which would you choose to keep?
I think you die from both of those things.
Keep in mind that all functionality for the hole you lose is gone. If you keep your urethra, you no longer need to poop. If you keep your asshole, you no longer need to pee or cum. Additionally, you lose all desires, whether sexual or biological in nature, associated with the lost hole. What say you?
I mean, that's a tough one, I guess. So what happens with your shit? Is that just the hypothetical is you don't even have to shit anymore?
You never shit again. I think that's...
I love shitting.
I do, too.
But I can't come if I lose my urethra?
Right.
I want to come on things.
So do I.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just not shit again.
Yeah, this is a slam dunk. I'm just not going to shit
anymore.
Yeah,
my love for a good shit is nowhere near my love for a good cum.
Right. Or a nice piss after you're drunk,
also,
whatever. It feels great.
Also, a bad shit is way worse than a bad cum. A bad cum is like bad pizza. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right? So we're going... We're losing an asshole.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll take us longer to come without that asshole.
Yeah. But, we're going to do it at that point.
Thank you.
Let's do one more. And if you have a hypothetical, send it in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. This one's, hey, J, butt stuff. Insert nut feathering here. So I have a sports hypothetical for you. Hmm. Who would, in a game, the worst NFL team or college team where they take the best player at each position? So he's saying, who would win in a game with the worst NFL team or a college team where they take the best player at each position? The college team gets a year to prepare for the game together and gets to choose if they want to play NFL rules or college rules. So who wins a bunch of overpaid Cleveland Browns with a most likely drunk Johnny Football or a college all-star team? Also, if you're the college team, which rules do you pick? Thanks for the laughs. Now twice a week and snaps. Good luck. Good luck with complex. Oh, because I said that I was going to do it. P.S. Give a shout out to my sad second shift friend, Dom_Sandy. Dom_Sandy. All shits and not even the thought of a woman's breasts. What do you guys think?
That's a tough one. I think if it's one game, it's a toss-up. I think if it's 10 games, I think the college team wins 6.
Really?
Like if you have best college team versus worst NFL team, the NFL team's crushing them. But if you have the best of each player in the country, a bunch of first-round picks,
yeah.
I mean, I think that... First of all, they should play college rules. It's a little more wide open. They're going to be younger and faster.
Yeah. You take the college rules because that widens the field.
Yeah, I think the best. But it's hard because also the best cornerback in college, maybe it's the NFL team 7 out of 10 because the best college cornerback might end up being shit. And these other players in the NFL, they've already made the NFL.
What do you think?
It's a tough one. It's a good
battle.
It's
a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the college team probably wins the majority of the time.
I got to disagree. The college, I think you go, if I'm picking the rules, I go college rules because of what you said, opening up the field.
Yeah.
But the football, the pro team wins every single time. And I'll tell you why. Football, more than any other sport, is a game of emotional, you know, you use emotion more than any other sport. Like you can get up for a basketball game, but like football, just the pushing someone back and having what is it, that thing in your head that pushes you and the embarrassment level for a pro team that they are fighting for to not be embarrassed is way bigger than the college players who are just fighting to like, you know, really don't give a shit.
Right.
If they lose, they win. It doesn't matter. They're playing. They're the all-star kid.
Right.
That's true.
And also, if you've met, I was just last weekend, there was a guy that played football at Penn State. We were talking at the show and they're big, but they're not NFL big. Like, they are enormous in the NFL.
Right, but the best player from each, like I said, if it's, again, if it's best college team versus worst NFL team, the NFL team is destroying them. But the best player from each position, super all-star team, I think is going to put up a good battle.
And I agree it's going to be a good battle, but I just think that embarrassment level for the pro football team, that they're fighting against that. They're literally doing anything they can to not have to deal with this bullshit. And also, like, look at running quarterbacks, how much worse they get when they go to the NFL. Right. Like, they can't. You look at, like, Michael Vick when he played.
Well, Vince Young.
Like, just like when they played in college, the field just seems so much.
Right.
More available to them, and then like Robert Griffin III goes out, and you're like, oh, he can't. He gets like one of those plays a game. He doesn't even get like 6.
Yeah, that's true. Also, with the quarterbacks, oftentimes the best quarterback in college football ends up not being the best.
Oh, quarterback is the one hardest, and that's the hardest.
And
part.
That's the most important position. Yeah. So yeah, maybe you're right. NFL team.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's go to some news.
All right. So this is a pretty fun one. Microsoft put up a Twitter bot. Like an artificial intelligence Twitter bot named Tay that was supposed to mimic how like millennials would respond to a tweet in like a joking kind of conversational way.
Okay.
So people could tweet to it, but it was going to learn from all the tweets that it was getting.
Okay.
So of course people, you know, are going to try to troll this thing.
Yeah.
And it ended up going pretty badly. They had to take it down and like delete a bunch of tweets because people would tweet it. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And the thing would answer, could not agree more. I wish there were more people articulating this kind of thing.
Yeah. So they fucked with the artificial intelligence thing in such a way that it make it sound racist.
Exactly. Like they would ask it enough questions involving enough racial terms or whatever so that its responses would
include
those. I don't
know where people find the time in a day.
Yeah.
Where are these people that like it seems like we get a story like this all the time where it's like this Twitter thing and it's funny, like it is funny that they're like, but like, how, what are they thinking? Do they have nothing to think about but fucking with things
yeah,
out
probably,
there.
Probably, yeah.
Like, you know,
you,
like,
said, you just said butt fucking.
I did say butt fucking. Yeah.
So that was nice. That's where I'm at. Yeah, my time of day.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, we're thinking about butt fucking.
Yeah.
You know, the, and like farts and shit. And then there's somebody online that's like, oh, there's this new Twitter bot. I got to fuck with that.
Right.
Like,
right.
Where do they get the energy?
Yeah.
Do you have it in you at all to do that?
No, I don't care about any of this stuff. But I do tweet. I got some mean tweets out there, but they're jokes.
Oh, I love
Twitter. Going to my act. But yeah, that's a little silly to me.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I just don't know who is the guy. I want to know the person that's doing this on a regular basis, because I'd probably hate the person, but I like what they create.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. Right. Like somebody asked, did the Holocaust happen? And the thing responded, it was made up with like a clapping emoji.
Oh, my God.
Like,
oh,
those well, are like, so they got into a crazy level.
It's
you know?
A Nazi AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Well, let me say this, though, about the artificial intelligence thing. That we're going to have artificial intelligence eventually.
Have you seen the video of the robot woman that can make facial expressions?
Yeah.
She was kind of hot.
Really?
Oh, did you see her?
I did, yeah.
You gotta look her up. There's this like robot woman who's on Facebook, and she's got the back of her head is like mechanical, like looks like the inside of a robot.
Yeah.
But then the face makes expressions, and they made it womanly.
Oh, wow.
And it just shows how much of animals we are. I looked at that and I was like, I'd fuck it.
Wow.
Close enough.
Right. Like, close enough.
Ex machina.
Yeah, it was, that's exactly kind of what she looked like. And you're looking at it being like, I'm in, like, I kind of felt my body react to her, and I was like, come on, body.
Yeah, boy.
Don't fucking do this.
Right.
You know, like, am I that weak?
Right. And then she also doesn't think the Holocaust happened, which is going to be a huge problem.
I can get past that.
That's all hot.
Right. All right, we'll do one more. This basketball player, Kawhi Leonard, who's still, the headline was, still lives like he's in college despite making millions. He just signed a 5-year, $94 million contract. He's 24 years old.
That doesn't even include his shoe contract, which exists.
Or whatever the fuck else he's making. Yeah, but so apparently he spends his summers in a 2-bedroom apartment in San Diego. He has a roommate. Yeah.
Okay.
He drives around a 97 Chevy Tahoe that he has paid off completely, which is great. And then he also has a Wingstop sponsorship, and they used to give him coupons before he signed the deal. But then they took it away, and he like panicked, and they were like, all right, here's your Wingstop coupons back. So he's not spending any of this $94 million, which I'm proud of him. That's the right way to do it.
He probably watched that 30 for 30 where the players went broke, and he's like, fuck that.
It's literally called broke.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I don't know. There's always this story that comes out every now and again about an athlete who's like just living like a normal person.
Yeah.
And then like the reaction to it is like, bravo.
You know,
right,
like,
good for you, man. Like, I'm not really like moved either. You know, because they did this with J.J. Watt. They tried to make,
well, Gronk is like this, right? To a certain extent.
Gronk only spends his sponsorship money.
Okay. He's like Leno.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And I'm always like, okay, good for you for being financially secure. I don't like when they put out this story and I'm wondering, did his agent put this out so I'll like him more? That's how much I distrust, like, the whole J.J. Watt narrative got ridiculous. Like, they were like, yeah, he lives in a cabin out in Minneapolis or out in Milwaukee. And then you see the cabin and it looks like it was built, you know, for a James Bond villain.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay. And then in the, they did like NFL Hard Knocks and J.J. Watt does he did a montage of him training.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And you're like, okay, I know what he's trying to get me to think about him.
Right.
And I just don't want to be told what to think about your, you know, how subtle and, you know, just like us you are. I'll get that. You don't have to, you know, just be and I will know.
Well, there's different versions of luxury, like is what it is.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, so he's not living in the big city in like a condo or something, but he's still got everything he wants
this guy, I don't see, like if I became a billionaire, I don't think my life would really change that much. The only thing that would change in my life would be like extracurriculars. Like, I don't think I would, like, have to drive be driven around in a limo every day. I like driving.
Right.
You know? Like, I think what he has, like, when you said he has an apartment on the beach in San Diego, he has an apartment in San Diego, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'd like an apartment on the beach in San Diego. Yeah. Like, but I wouldn't need it to be, like, a $1 billion property.
No.
You know? Like, you ever think about that?
Yeah, I'm not a big, I like traveling. I would do a lot of traveling and maybe some charitable stuff. But yeah, I, I don't understand the big house thing. Those things don't really make you. I'm really into Buddhism and all that bullshit. So the big houses and cars doesn't bring any kind of happiness. I'm not a car guy. I'd have like a Prius.
Well, that's. I was going to say ahead. That's the like to that idea. Like Ram Dass is somebody that I read about a lot, and like I really like, you know, his kind of ideologies about stuff. And he's like, look, if you can stay in a luxury hotel or have this huge house, and you can also just like sleep on the floor somewhere, and both are going to be fine for you, go for it. But if you have this like real attachment to materialism and this giant stuff, right. Well, then that's probably not the best place to be for you.
To me, it's like, it's an honesty thing. Like where it's like, you hear so many people, I wrote a column about this last week. It was like, this girl I read on Facebook that she wrote this thing and said that she's starting a new business because she has a passion for brunch.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't cry about brunch every day.
Right.
A passion is to be moved to like an emotional spot because of something. And it's like, listen, if you're trying to make money off of brunch, good for you. Go for that. But if you had $1 billion, would you still say that you have a passion for brunch?
Right.
No, you probably wouldn't. So it's like, I think this is Kawhi. It sounds like he's living his life the way he would want to live it.
Yeah.
You know, would you still do an open mic if you were if you signed a $94 million contract to do comedy, Joe?
Yeah.
Would you still want to go on stage in Des Moines, Iowa?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, I like doing comedy.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Maybe not Des Moines, but I would have to do Seattle and LA and Vancouver. Saying,
but you would still want to go on stage and do something that pays you not sure. $94 million.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I want to do stand-up.
So, that, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I always think of it in that context where it's like, this guy, good for him. He's living the way he wants to live.
Right.
It seems like someone did a report on him, whatever. J.J. Watt, it seemed like he was trying to, like, make more money off of being a poor right. guy.
Now, yeah, the Kawhi sure. Leonard, there's a bit of sadness to it because it feels like, and I don't want to be judgmental based on race, but I feel like maybe he comes from a poor area and has a lot of poor people in his life. And he's
apparently
he doesn't have the
it.
Confidence. He's very insecure that he's like, I got to drive this thing. I don't trust this shit. And it sounds like there's a lack of trust or hope.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you made it. You're good to go.
He
like,
could
buy
not,
a car, buy a house, man.
I mean, knowing from like financial planning standpoint, he could put these into things that he would never have to worry again. You know,
yeah.
If he trusts, it sounds like he doesn't trust who's
that could
managing
also be a
his
thing.
Money.
Yeah, which is unfortunate as well. But like, just like, don't buy it. You don't have to buy a fucking Lamborghini, whatever the fuck the cool car is now.
Yeah.
But you get a fucking a 2015 something.
Yeah, do right. something.
You know what I mean?
Get like, some AC can, in that
yeah,
car.
Get a house, buddy.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Joe, thank you for coming on. This was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
At Joe List Comedy on Twitter. He's going to be at the Providence Comedy Connection April 29th and 30th. Go check him out. Fantastic comic. He's also got a podcast of his own. Tuesdays with Stories is every Tuesday here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network. Chris Mansamp, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, man, and thanks again for the support, everybody.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
At Mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Saves a Podcast every Friday. I'll read one follow-up email before we go. This is about read receipts. I think it's pretty funny. We mentioned it earlier in the episode. Followed you on Instagram. You're surprisingly more metrosexual than I expected. Good for you. I've been using and swearing by read receipts for years and didn't realize their true power until breaking up with a long-term girlfriend. If you have an argument or are otherwise trying to set yourself up for sexual success, here are my three steps. Be known for having read receipts on. If you need to think you'll need more time to into a, if you think you'll need more time to put into a response, turn off your read receipt and then go into the text exchange and read her response. Three, exit her message on iMessage, create a draft in notes, then turn read receipts back on and send the draft to text message after a minute or so. The key is to not have the typing bubble show up or do anything that would let them know that you turned read receipt off the read receipts. This is great and kind of schemey because you put time into a response that makes sense, but to her it took you a minute to come up with a great response. Plug my Twitter handle, @BasedConley, but I'll probably just get reported as spam. That's a lot of effort for something that we're trying to get more
right, yeah.
I hear what he's saying. That is something I wouldn't do. But I appreciate him giving some updates with the, you know, something that we're all trying together, it feels like. So, guys, thank you for listening. I'm Jared Fried. That is our episode. We'll be back next week with a brand new J Train podcast. Keep spreading the words, telling your friends, your sisters, your brothers, your coworkers. I will be back next week sending those emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Jared Fried, JTrain56.